hysteria crowd. What is crack-a-lackin', sir? What you got going on?
Yo.
You were serenading me with some guitar as we were getting ready. They missed out on that.
Hone some skills. I guess I should pick up the skill first before I hone it. But not much, man. But
just in case anyone needs a good bard, you're ready at any time.
Yeah, I would be just as annoying as a bard would be, I think.
Excuse me, that wasn't a guitar. It was a lute. Thank you very much. actually.
I think that makes me a liar. But yeah, I'm enjoying the weather around here. I know a lot of the country and world is kind of not faring so well, but we have 50s and 60s around here.
Oh, wow.
Loving it.
Man, it's actually been kind of 80 here and not overly humid, which is crazy because a lot of times, as you know, this time of year would be 90 and 90% humidity or warmer. Mm-hmm. So I've actually been okay.
You've guys already gone through a spell. So.
Yeah, we have. Speaking of going through spells, what a segue. One man who went for a spell that caused his death was the Somerton Man. I always think of Hey Culligan Man. Hey Somerton Man.
yeah.
That is the gift that kept on giving for many, many, many years, the Somerton Man. Well, guess what?
What?
Mystery Man solved. DNA, they say, points to identity. The identity of the Somerton Man, a professor claims that. So it's kind of cool. Many, many, many of you sent this to me. I had already kind of seen it, so I don't want to give 30 people credit because you all sent it. So thank you to all of you. There's been a professor who's dedicated decades to solving the identity, and he did it through when the Somerton Man was found before they buried him. They did a death mask, as they would do. And the death mask, of course, can collect hairs and things like that. So he had hairs, and using DNA sequencing, his name was, hold on one second here. Derek Abbott from the University of Adelaide says the body of a man found on the city's beaches in 1948 belonged to Carl Charles Webb, an electrical engineer and instrument maker born in Melbourne in 1905. They used DNA sequencing. Abbott says he and Fitzpatrick, another person working on it, were able to locate the final pieces of the puzzle that have been, of course, captivated historians. This podcast, we've talked about it many times and all this stuff. And everyone knew that he had that piece of paper for the Tom and Shed that was in there. Well, it just so happens that old Carl was a poet. And he was big into poetry, and that kind of means that one of the reasons he might have had that. It said, here's a quote, he said, it's like one of these folklore mysteries that everybody wants to solve, and we did. Fitzpatrick has investigated other cold cases, including the disappearance of Amelia Earhart and the 1948 crash of Northwest Flight 4422. This all comes from the CNN article on this. It just felt like I climbed and I was at the top of Mount Everest. That's a quote from Abbott about figuring out who he was. they go into who the Somerton Man was, what they knew, and then who Charles Webb, or Carl, he went by, was. They said there's little known about his early life. He was married to a Dorothy Robertson, also known as Doff Webb. She went by Doff.
What? She was a Sith Lord?
Doff. Yeah, not Darth, but Doff. Yeah. When Webb emerged as the prime person of interest in the family tree, Abbott and Fitzgerald set to work. They figured out that he was where it was. They thought it was him. They went down the family tree. They looked at last known records, which was actually in April of 47 when he kind of went off. So they figured it out for a bunch of sleuthing. They also exhumed the body, did DNA testing. Abbott said he's not taking his findings to the police yet. They're conducting a parallel investigation. They're the ones who exhumed the bones and stuff like that. Their protocol is not to talk about a case until their part is done. They will most likely approach us, the University of Adelaide, after our announcement. And if the DNA findings are incontrovertible, which they are. So They leaves more questions than answers. What was he doing there? Why no one claim him? Things like that. But at least they got a name with the face. Kind of crazy after all these years, stuff like this can be solved. Doesn't that just blow you away a little bit?
It gives you hope for some things, you know, like,
right. Like,
and this is the guy that they found on a beach somewhere.
Yeah, he's on a beach, right? And like he had, you know, he was wearing, you know, nice clothing. He had, you know, cigarettes. He had a torn piece of a book in his pocket. Now the book they ended up finding later in the back of a car, and this woman who they thought had something to do with it. And she wouldn't talk to the police. It was just, there were so many things. Now he was an electrical engineer. Spycraft is something that has been lofted about a lot with this. They can't say one way or another. They still don't know why he was there, what he was doing, how he really died, things like that.
But it seems like he was just a regular bloke.
Yes and no. I mean, you know, if he was doing his job as a spy, then that's a hard thing to say one way or another. You know what I mean?
Spy's kind of a catch-all in this.
Right. Isn't that just seem like a lazy explanation? You know what I mean? But you know what? At least, you know, Charles, but I don't know any Charles that go by Carl, but now I do. So Carl Webb, or Charles. I don't know if he went James by Carl Webb? Or Charles. I don't know. Carl Charles Webb. Anyway, that's the name to the old Summerton man. And it's pretty cool, like you said, that things like this are still being figured out. Gives you a little bit of hope. I don't know what for, but it does me. I don't know what.
Well,
I don't have any skeletons in my closet that I need help identifying, but if I did.
Adelaide, I mean, how many mysteries do we have these days that
none
we
of your
love
goddamn
talking about?
Business? I'll tell you that right now.
I see. Okay. But, like, you know, what about one day they're going to find something to solve Dyatlov Pass?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That would be insane.
And the reason that is because the pass and Summerton man have captured people's imagination. So they're still being worked on and looked into.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, not everything gets that same kind of coverage, but you know, it as they do these things, then it means that we've got other ways of sleuthing, so to speak, in the future. So it always, you can unload new skills into the world. So it's not a bad thing, no matter how it goes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's my story. We're going to go to break. And when we come back, you're going to hit us with some flaring nostrils or something like that. I don't know. I didn't really pay attention. All right. That's coming up on Blurry Hysteria. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get now. Started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, from the shores of Australia to space.
Spurs. What are we working
with? Spurs.
So this one was sent to us by Thomas Ford. Thanks, Thomas. This was from about a month ago. Giant sunspot doubled in size in 24 hours, and it's pointing right at Earth.
Uh-oh.
So a sunspot...
It's coming right for us! Oh, my God!
Yeah, aims the barrel. We're staring down the barrel of a giant...
Sunspot out of nowhere!
Solar flare, possibly. So sunspots are these patches on the sun's surface. They're created by powerful magnetic fields. Mm-hmm. And what happens is they'll grow, and at some point something will snap, and they will release... these energy bursts of radiation called solar flares. You know, they you may have heard the term coronal mass ejections. Well, that's what these things, our sunspots will eventually eject this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is, if it's big enough and aimed in the right direction, it could come over Earth and cause some problems.
So real quick, as I was reading this also, the problems are terrifying from the mundane to the all life ending. It's just crazy how far they can go one way or the other.
Exactly. Yeah. The bigger it is, the worse off you'll be.
Oh, doesn't my wife know that? She doesn't, unfortunately for her.
These things, they usually, the sun will have, you know, periods of high sunspot activity, and scientists have narrowed it down to 11-year cycles.
Yeah.
And right now it's on the rise. They think it'll reach a maximum activity period in 2025, and then it'll start, you know, going silent again. But they can be pretty bad, and they think that the 1859 Carrington event,
yeah,
they've named, released the same energy as 10 billion 1 megaton atomic bombs, slamming the Earth with solar particles.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, it fried telegraph systems. It created auroras all over, you know, you didn't have to be at a certain latitude. It was just kind of all over.
Yeah.
It would be, if that happened today, it would be so catastrophically worse because we have so many electronics and systems.
Think
that
of
would
all
be
satellites going offline
up
from that, things like that. But then on top of that, that is one thing. It could also strip the Earth of its atmosphere if it was big enough and just dead.
That is, yeah, that would be insane.
We don't, you know what our notification is? 8 minutes.
8 minutes is when it is the time it takes to travel.
I mean, they can see something coming, but they can have, you know, unpredicted blow-offs, you know, that you know, and these things, not just these solar flares, they travel through space, not just from our sun. There can be these bursts that come through and just wreck shop, and they've happened in the past, like you're talking about. Now, the magnitude is what dictates how, you know, bad or good it can be. And if we were good, well, good, I mean, maybe, because, you know, if we were warring with another planet, we might be able to harness it and use it as a weapon. Oh, that's good, right? That's what, then we could manipulate it with drugs and or the occult, if you're listening to this week's actual regular episode. Anyway.
Yeah, ask Alderaan about it.
Oopsie. Right. I don't know, man. It's terrifying to not know.
It is. I mean, the thing you're mentioning is a gamma ray burst, which can originate
gamma ray
from
burst
another,
from another. You're right, not the same.
Yeah,
but yeah,
system, and that if it's big enough and hits us exactly at the right place, right time. I mean, everything's fried instantly, and yeah, it's just like, hey, nice knowing you.
It is nice to know that as the it would come through Earth and there would be a point in time, might be for a microsecond, where everyone was cooked perfectly.
Smells delicious. Do you smell some long pork?
Never mind.
I tried to follow this up. This was around June 23rd-ish. And so it was pointing directly at us. Well, I tried to follow up on it, and it looks like the flare, which is from the sunspot, they titled AR 3038.
Yep.
I think it let out a little like queef, and then it started to weaken.
I like the way your mind works.
It didn't do it towards us, and luckily it. Sunspots take a couple of weeks to move around the sun, and, you know, whatever they do on the other side of the sun is their business. But nothing happened, basically. So we avoided a very, big cannon that was pointed right at us as it kind of grew and changed and morphed and moved around the sun. So, yikes.
Yeah, like, I think you just summed it up perfectly. Yikes. that's my scientific my scientician's opinion.
The scariest thing might be that this kind of stuff is going to ramp up for the next 3 years.
Yep. And then we get a lull for 11 years. And
it'll start on the downside. If we survive that, then we'll be okay-ish.
Yeah, okay-ish. Yeah.
Well, so that means in 6 years we might be in the same spot.
Yeah. Speaking of okay-ish, you heard I have a hernia, so that's fun. Getting ready to go in for surgery on that.
Not okay-ish.
It's not a sunspot, but it is a spot where my intestines decided they wanted to be on the outside, so that's fun.
Get me out of here.
Yeah. Oh, my God. All he does is eat. I need a break. I need a vacation. I hear it's nice on the outside. Sunny. That's what I got going on.
No humidity right now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't know, man. You got anything else in the world happening right now other than, excruciating abdominal pain?
No, for me, I'm inching closer to getting the documentary released. We got our third cut of it, and everything continues to fall into place, which is nice. And we're just trying to pick up little shots here and there that we're needing, missing from, the placeholders and things like that.
That's exciting as hell, man. I mean, especially hammering this out while the world was in literally in lockdown. Was when you guys started. Was
that's
actual
part of it.
Lockdown.
It's like, 2 years of it. We were pushed back because of all that BS. Mm-hmm. But it's come together. It's very slow. There's three of us working on it right now, and two of the three don't actually control the editing of it. We've got one editor, and he's doing the best he can to keep up with it and kind of do it in addition to his regular day job and stuff. So. Yeah, it's
very cool.
It's slow going, but
you're learning the process. You're learning how this works.
That is true too. Yeah, if we do it again,
it
should take a quarter of the time.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Exactly. That's always interesting how that works. And I've been on movie sets. I've done some things here and there, and it's hurry up and wait. And it is excruciatingly slow paced for some people,
Well,
me being some people.
The nice thing about doing an independent production like this is, on set when we were filming and stuff, there were five of us there. It was me and Derek. We had a sound guy, a camera guy, and a producer. And, and so it went very smoothly, when we were doing stuff. Mm-hmm. The biggest, I think, setbacks were that the drone that we were using wouldn't work because it was so hot.
Yeah, that sucks.
It literally flew up and then started to melt up. And came right back down.
Yeah, Jesus, no fun, man.
So that was wild.
How much ice can we pack on this and it still fly? I'm excited. I can't wait. So, inching in forward is awesome when you're almost at the end. So that is cool. Well, that's been our thoughts this week, and we will see you next week with more Blurry Hysteria.
Bye.
Later.
Meeting adjourned.